Father and my God, I come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. I confess my sins. Lord, I honor you. I bow before you. I thank you for this privilege, Lord. A very great privilege, not to be taken for granted, to stand before your people to share your word. As I go into the word this evening, I strip myself of every confidence that my heart have in my own knowledge or ability to share your word. I put my confidence in your mercy and the grace of Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit operating through covering to use all these things to bring a word in season that will bring edification to the body of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. As your word goes forth, Father, I pray for grace, Lord, to accompany the words, your power, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten with the revelation of your word that goes forth today, and our emotions to further control by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I ask for help to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary, but to bring out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today is Serving One Another by Love, the Pathway to Inheriting the Glory. Serving one another by love, the pathway to inheriting the glory. Praise the Lord. Let's move our Bible's book of Galatians chapter 5 and we'll read from verses 13 to 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It was some days ago I was at home and I was reading my Bible and then Lord, that scripture leaped at me. And I began to meditate on it because the Bible says we serve one another with love. And there must be a reason. Let's read. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by what? Love serve one another. Let's say it together. But by love, serve one another. But by love, serve one another. Next verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt do what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Next verse. Now, if we don't do it, this is what will happen. But if you bite and what? Devour one another. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So it says, by love, serve one another. It's not a new message, but it's just that the way the Lord brought it to me about some days ago, and then when we were praying yesterday, God showed me some scriptures, and I was able to kind of link it together. And I saw that it's not as if God is saying something new, but it's just encouraging us that the more we practice the love work amongst ourselves, then we can hasten the manifestation of the glory of God. Like this year has been declared as the year of quantum leaps, a year in which God will give us great light. You see, when the Bible talks about light, I'm getting ahead of myself, he's talking about, it's not this physical light we can see. It means wisdom or revelation or knowledge. That is the light that the Holy Spirit shines upon your heart, that enables you to see clearly. You know, like Pastor has been sharing with us, you know, like, I'll give the example of Papa again. You know, in the 50s, when people get born again, they will keep on tarrying for years, some people 50 years. Why? To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they did not have light. Are you following me? But he said he started praying and was seeking God. And then God now showed him from the book of Romans that when you believe your heart and you confess with your mouth. And he said, from that day, if anybody comes, you know, I've been tarrying for 50 years, you just pray for them instantly and they will feel the Holy Spirit. The same thing with what we are expecting God to do. You see, God is not hiding or keeping these things back from us. He is more eager to give us than we ourselves desire. And for the Bible says, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth until they receive the former and the latter rain. So until we receive that rain of the light of God, that will show us how to exactly walk. You see, when the master was working on his fruit of the earth, all that the first 18 years, you know, before he started manifesting his glory, he took time in the word. And he learned how to operate these principles. And by the time he came on the scene, he wasn't trying to do something. It wasn't like somebody would bring somebody, like when they, you know, most times what we experience nowadays is that, which is good and it's not wrong. For us to experience the presence of God, we have to get the choir to sing or, you know, sort of music so that the presence of God can come down. But look at the master, he'll go to somewhere and he'll be eating. And then somebody will come and say, can you heal me? Say, yes, if you believe. And they will pray for him. No music, nothing at all. No fanfare, and they will move on. That is, why could he do that? Because God has given anointing with the Spirit without measure. But you see, the issue is this. He could see clearly. You see, if you don't see something clearly, then you'll be trying, you know, hit and miss. You know, try to, but once you can see clearly, like you are standing and the light is shining from your heart, you can see clearly, it will be easy for you to do exactly what the master did. That is why, like Pastor keeps saying, the miracles be so common in this day we are in. Praise the Lord. So, say by love, serve one another. So, I put in my notes here. It says that, How do we serve? It's very important. If the Bible said we serve one another by love, that is, how do we now serve one another? We serve one another in two ways. By the Spirit when we pray for one another, and then by love from the Scripture of Jesus. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Are we there? This is Paul talking. I says, for I'm not ashamed. Romans chapter 1, verse 9, not 16, please. 1, 9. Where says, I thank my God that I serve in my spirit, always praying for you. Yeah, let's look at that. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. That boy says spirit. He wasn't serving God in physical things. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his son. That without ceasing, say that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. So here we see a key which is very important of how we serve God. We already know. Paul was saying, I serve God with his spirit. How does he serve God with his spirit? He says, praying for you. At least those under his covering, his fear of influence. I follow him. And then, like very early on in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, put in Amplify, verse 13. Verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says them things, but in a clearer way. Are we there? So he says, for you, brethren, that we are indeed called to freedom, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity to excuse or excuse for selfishness, excuse me. But through love, you should serve one another. So we can see there that God wants us to serve one another with our spirits, in summary, with love. So we serve, and that the primary way we do that is by praying in the spirit. It's a very simple message. God, pastor has taught us over and over and over about to pray. But you see, the key thing that struck me as I continue is that, you see, God now began to show me that it is as we practice this aspect of serving one another that the glory of God will be made manifest in this season we are in, this year, and then as we go on in the decade. Praise the Lord. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, when Paul was talking, put it there, he said, I show you a more excellent way. That is, he was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, if you read the earlier verses. And he now says, he said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That is a better way. That is more excellent. That is a sure banker of, if we walk good this way, you have. And he was talking about receiving just a measure of the Spirit, or the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. It now goes on in 1 Corinthians 13 to talk and say, well, if I speak in tongues and I have not love. So we know we're talking about love. So love is that excellent way. That's why the Bible says John the Baptist was sent ahead to prepare the way of the Lord. You see, that prepare is not a physical way. It's a highway. It's a highway of love. We've been taught. The Bible says the highways to Zion. You see, it's that way when it is prepared, then God can come. You see, it is the love of God that can accommodate the glory of God. Are you following me? The love of God is only what can accommodate or carry the love of God. So the degree to which you walk in love will determine the measure of the glory of God that we carry. Praise the Lord. So, and has been said that 2020 is a year of what? Great light. I don't want us to see that light only in terms of God will give you light in your business and whatever. That is part of it. But the light I believe God is talking about is the light of revelation knowledge of the word of God concerning how to walk in love in such a clear way, in a perfect way. I follow me. That is what God is talking about. So we don't miss what God is trying to say. I will explain as I go on. You see, when I say that is a year of great lights. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, in the King James Version. You know, that the pastor was sharing, he said that great light is a light of great intensity and what? Frequency. Say great intensity and what? Frequency. So what does this scripture say? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Says, the people which sat in what? Let's read together. The people which sat in darkness saw what? Great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. I follow him. He said they saw people that, see, when this scripture was quoted, it was quoted when Christ manifested his glory. And it was talking to the Israelites, not the Gentiles. If you go go to verse 14. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, next verse. It says, the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Next verse.
He said that the people which sat in darkness saw great light. As them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light is sprung up. So we see two things there. He said there are some people that were sitting in darkness, and some people that were sitting in the shadow of death. Now again, we know that these are symbols. He's not talking about the physical darkness, but when it is dark at night. I follow you. You have Christians that can sit in darkness. I follow you. You also have unbelievers that are in total darkness because they are not born again. So it says that it talks about two people here. See, those that sat in darkness and those that are sitting in the shadow of death. He said to them, light is what sprung up. In the book of Psalms chapter 1, it says something. It talks, it says, blessed is the man that does not walk in counsel of a godly, he does stand, he does not, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. So what I believe God is trying to explain to us in these times through the scriptures is this. Who are those that are sitting in darkness or those that are sitting in the shadow of death? These are Christians that don't practice walking in love one toward another. I repeat. Who are those that sit in darkness or in the shadow or the region of shadow of death? They are Christians that don't say practice. Say practice. I didn't say perfect. Say practice. Walking in love one toward another. You see, when we don't walk in love toward one another, in the body of Christ, we will be walking in darkness. We will be sitting in darkness. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he was talking about to Corinthian Christians, he said that if there is an envy and strife among you, he said, you people, you are carnal. He said, can I speak unto you as unto spiritual? In 1 Corinthians 11, he now began to tell them, he said, although he was talking in context of communion. But he now later said, for this reason, some of you are weak, some of you are sickly, and some of you sleep. So, but if you judge yourselves, you will not be judged. Are you following me? You see, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, there was a day, pastor was just sharing with us. I don't want to mention this as we continue. We after the service, and then he was talking about right there, and then he said something. He's talking about rapture. He gave a lot of mathematical calculations. I now said that the summary is what I could pick. I didn't know I arrived at it, but I believe what he said. The summary is you are laughing. The laugh will fade off your face now. He said, when the rapture occurs, only 1 out of 8,000 will go. You see now, you can continue laughing. when he said it that day, he said 1 out of 8,000. Every 8,000, only one person will go for the rapture. This is beyond God forbid, sir. You see, Bible says straight and narrow is the way. And few that be that find. That's why the Bible says something. Pastor was sharing with me before we came. He said that 2/3 shall be cut off. And the 1/3 that is left, God will pass them through the fire. He will refine them. You see, because it is the glory of God that will help you to escape the things that are coming upon the earth. Luke chapter 21. He says that watch ye and pray therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. You see, the things that are coming upon the earth now is going to increase in frequency. I follow me. From what we see, even in our nation, the frequency is going to increase. But you see, But the Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. So it begins at thought, what is the end of the world? I follow, what shall the end of the world be? That is when the end of the world will face great tribulation. 1 in 8,000. You see, but what made me relax a bit, not relax that I will not, is that is why covering is very important. You know, Jesus Christ said something. You see, when we talk about covering, it's something that we need to understand. When you understand it, then it's easy to walk under it. That's why Jesus Christ said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I have loved to gather you as a hen would gather what? Our chickens under. He said, but you refused them. He said, you have missed your day of visitation. And then you know what happened when Titus came and destroyed them. That is, it was not God's will for any of them to perish. But because they did not submit to the calling of Christ. That's why he sent Lord Jesus Christ. And those that followed him escaped. So what am I saying? Who are Christians that are in darkness or in the shadow of darkness? Let the scriptures interpret. So that when we fall into these things, we quickly jump out of it. I said somebody did. I said that, look, woman asked me a question. And I said, look, this is what I experienced. So I would rather be right with God than to insist on my rights. I'm telling you, brethren, that's why people say, when they slap you on the right, they turn the other cheek. Because like Papa said years ago, he said that God does not see right or wrong. Is this light or darkness? So if darkness comes against you, God expects you to respond with light. If hatred comes, he expects you to respond with love. I follow me. If somebody moves, death moves there, you respond with life. Not right or wrong. It is right or wrong that will make you carry placards and be protesting on the road. It's supposed to drive us to our knees. To release more life into the atmosphere and change the atmospheric condition of the nation. When we change it, everybody will change. That is the meaning of revival. It is that life that will make people think well and begin to do the right thing. It is the entrance of his life, of his word, that giveth light. It was that light that struck Paul off his horse. A murderer became an apostle. But you know, brethren were praying. That intercession brought the master on the scene and he told him, Paul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So I can tell you up front, not to excuse those that are misbehaving all over the land, but God doesn't want them. Because some of them, are you following me? They can be the apostles of tomorrow. But if we, the church, will pray, God will move on our behalf. Not carry placards on the way. That's what the world will do. Anyway, that's not in my notes. So what am I saying? Who are those that are in darkness and in death? I put it there. I said the absence of light and life. I said, what is darkness and what is death? The absence of light and life when we don't walk in love towards one another. I said darkness and death. What does it mean? It is the absence of light. See, the absence of light and life when we don't walk in love. You know, the life of God is what gives birth to the light of God. I'll say the light of his word. Are you following me? Which will now enable you to walk in love. So let's open our Bibles to the book of... let me explain before we move on. 1 John chapter 2. We'll read from verse 8. So we need to understand. Are you following me? Was a message to encourage us. Because when I looked at it, I said, what? Which means God has called us to do something very simple. You see, if God were to make the, the criteria to carry the glory very, very difficult, then some people will not be able to do it. If it is very difficult to do or to understand, Bible says his commandments are not grievous. Let me give you an example. Are we saying that we are the only ones in this place that can inherit the glory or carry the bold anointing of glory? No. Every man, even uneducated people like Peter and John, fishermen. Because it's so simple. It's not like you are trying to make jam marks for in those days. For, I think it was for medicine. It would just be 300 and something in those days. Which everybody said, just leave that one. You're better sort of for physiology. You're going to do guidance and counseling. All these are 200. You're laughing. Guidance and counseling is what is making money today. So what am I saying? It's not that difficult. So what am I saying? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. What does it say? John was writing to Christians. He says, and a new commandment. I write unto you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is past. Remember the darkness of Matthew chapter 4. That was 16. He said, because the darkness is past. And the true what? Light. That great light shineth. Next verse. Now begins to explain darkness and light. And how to avoid it. Next verse. Verse 9. He that saith, let's look at, he that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So those that sat in darkness, light has sprung up. That is, God has revealed unto us what it means to walk in the light and what it means to be in darkness. Are you following me? So he said, he that saith. Or like the Jews were saying those days, we be the children of Abraham. We be not born of fornication. He said, if you are children of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. He now told them something when John Baptist was preaching. He said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit shall be hewn down. Even though they were children of Abraham, they were Israelites. Next verse. That is darkness. Next verse, please. See? He that loveth his brother... He that loveth his brother is in the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Next verse. So love is light. So when you don't love your brother as you ought to, you are in darkness at that time. When you love your brother, Are you following me? You are walking in the light. And the Bible says there is no occasion of stumbling in you. Next verse. Okay, let's just say. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in what? Darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded him. It blinded his eyes. The eyes there being the eyes of his understanding, his mind. Not able to, the Bible says that you have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So the Bible makes it very clear. Say, my dear brother, if you are not walking in love toward your brother, you are in darkness. But the encouraging thing that says, he said that those that are sat in darkness, light is as shone unto them. The next verse I want to say, let's open to, we are talking about here about darkness and the shadow of death. First John chapter 3, verse 14. Because when we think about darkness, all we think about most of the time is about the unbelievers, what is good. It is true. But see, if you do what they do and live the way they live, you believe you'll be in darkness. First John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John 3:14, not 4. Let's read. Say, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, the shadow of death. So if you go back to Matthew 16, he said, to those that dwell in darkness, light is sprung up. And those that dwell in the region of the shadow of death, light shines. I can't remember. Put it back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. Just to join it back to it, we can follow the scriptures, you know, in line with what I've just shared from the book of 1 John 2. And he says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light. So we know from this scripture and the other two I read, that is for you, light that has sprung up and is shining at this time is the light of the love of God towards your brother. So as you walk in love towards your brother, that you stay out of darkness every moment. Are you following me? I think it's clear. Praise the Lord. So I want, sir. Yes, the degree to which you walk, because we are practicing. We are not perfect yet. We are practicing. That's why, like, go back again. Do your covering. There are those that are above us that are perfected. They are shedding that thing. So that is why the covering comes. That the pastor said something. He said, if somebody now gets born again today and the rapture occurs, won't he go? He will go. Why? Because covering will make up for what he does not know. Are you following me? So it's but for us, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. We have to walk. You see, let me just continue as God helps me. We have to make sure we practice it. When God showed me the message, I found it difficult to explain, even though I understood. And then the responsibility on me dawned on me. I said, Lord, it's clear now, it's clear. I understand what Pastor has been saying, it's clear to me. So what I need now is to make up my mind to do these things, in season and out of season. So let's keep on. So it was yesterday, God now added much when we were praying, and God now quoted from Isaiah 60, put it in verse 1. We quote it, we are excited, we quote it when we're talking about the glory and all that. But God now linked it to what I've been saying. Are we there? We're going to Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2. Let's read. Arise! Shine. You see, when we read it as arise and shine. There's no and there. Say arise! It's a command. Shine! For what? The light. The reason why God is saying arise, shine, because, for means because, your light has come. What is that light? The light of walking in love to your brother. Say, arise! Shine! For the light is come. That means that we could not arise and shine until the light came. Are you following me? Arise! Let's read again now. Arise! Shine! For thy light is come. The light that is come to Christians. It was written to Israel, not to the Gentiles. Or else, why would you say Gentiles will come to the brightness of thy rising? So he's talking about the light of the love of God that comes to the body of Christ at a particular Kairos moment that will cause them to arise and shine. And when they begin to shine, the glory of God will rise upon them. It's such a simple message. When God opened my eyes to see, and I'm praying that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to see what I see. By the grace of God. The everything pastor has been teaching about joints and bands became clear to me. So Christianity is no longer something you do based on emotions. You don't pray because you feel like it. Some prayers, you don't wash feet because you feel like it. Now, no, the more you do it, the more you stay in the light. And then you draw the glory back. I hope I get there today. The Bible says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. It is the Spirit and the Bride that say, come. The company of people that are practicing this thing, with the Spirit of God, that will say, come, come, come. We are ready. If you are not ready, you will not say, come. So, please, in those days when we are not ready for examination, when I was in school, I was a very playful person, to make it very simple. You know, anytime they close school, if it was the first place that they closed for about 5 months, my God, I was so happy. I won't lie to you. I didn't have notes. So why? Because I wasn't ready. An exam was just about a month away. So I went to go and borrow notes and all that stuff and then took it home. Even with that gone, I got to it, but I was driving all over the place. So many Christians are like today. They are just believing God that this thing will not come. So they unwittingly side with Satan. Who knows his time is short. So in those days, when you see people that have really read for exams, they will be, oh God, why should they close this thing? We have exams now. I want to go and serve. I won't be able to talk. I say, well, some Christians are saying that today. But you see, how about the Bible says that? It says that we should hasten his coming. That's why we have to pray that there won't be any spiritual riot in the realm of the spirit that will delay his coming. God has set a time for his appearing. So let's read. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Next verse. Four, say four. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. You know what the darkness is now? And what? Gross darkness the people. But, say but, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So it's a consequence of the Lord arising upon you, that he will not see his glory upon you. Let's take it a step at a time. What does it mean to arise? Arise means to get up. Shine. What does it mean to shine? To shine basically means, in the context of what I'm saying, is to walk in love. So arise, that is, get up. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. In those days, we used to be going on toast somebody. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be silly. You say that you say your knight in shining armor. It is your love armor that should be shining. You get what I'm trying to say? When you begin to walk in love at a certain degree, that armor of love you put on, you will start shining in the realm of the spirit. Blinding light that people cannot see, can look into. So I said, to shine is to walk in love. And thy light that is come is the light, is very important. This is the key of the message. Is the light, the distilled instruction of walking in the love of God one toward another. That is the light that is come. We need to understand it from what I've read thus far. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. What does it say? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. What does it say? 4, 6. Okay, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, as what? Shine where? In our hearts. To give the light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God commanded the light to shine. What is that light giving us? The knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is love. So the knowledge, the epignosis, that's what we're talking about. That is the light. That is the great light of the glory of God. How to attain unto it. So the question is, do we practice this as diligently as we ought to or not? That's why you say we are the one that can either hasten it or delay it by how we do it. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? We're talking about the light of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 in Amplified. Ephesians 5, 14. I want to use another scripture to explain this aspect of arise, shine, fall. Always remember fall. The light. It is the light that comes that makes you arise and shine. That's what he's saying. If light does not come to you, if you don't receive the light, or if your barriers are closed and you don't receive light, you can't arise and shine. Because you still dwell in the region of darkness and the shadow of death. But when you receive the light with open wombs, then you arise. Ah, what is wrong with me, Ken? What nonsense is this? Am I walking in envy and strife? I'll give another story because it happened some days ago. I'm not there yet. I had to talk to somebody recently about last week. It was last week. It was a lady. So she did something very wrong. So I really shouted. I was really angry. If you were to judge, you say, ah, she won't come in, like we want to say. Like we justify ourselves. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning, I was praying. Holy Spirit now spoke to me, said, go and apologize to her. And I saw in my heart as she was grieving. Ah, I said, Lord, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. Help me. So I went back. Why? God does not have pleasure in any Christian that is grieving. Say, but the Spirit of Lord God is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. So that's why Bible said, when Master Pastor, when he spoke in the temple, he said, never mind. He said, his words were so gracious. Our words, he said, we're speaking the truth in love. Even though it was truth, but they speak it in love. I don't know why I'm telling stories. I'm looking at me today. I saw my wife. I pity her. Some years back, I'm better now. If we are praying and she just nod, oh my God, I'll preach a whole sermon. That will be the end of prayer time that day. A little sleep, a little slumber. I'm telling you a fact. But I said, when I was a child, I thought I was a child. When I begin to understand what pastor and mommy have been doing, when you walk in their sphere of influence, they just smile. But it's not just a smile. If it's just a smile that makes you calm down spiritually when you're in their presence, then that's not what we're talking about. They've asked life for you. So all the agitations of the flesh, they calm down. Are you following me? That is where God is calling us to. Bible says, Jesus Christ, he said, having loved his own, love them unto joy. Happens to redeem time. Say, therefore, he says, awake, O what? Sleeper. And arise from the dead. It doesn't mean you are sleeping in the graveyard. And Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. So who is the sleeper that is even told to awake? Is the person that is sleeping amongst the dead. What does that mean? It is when the sin nature controls your actions. Bible says that, you know, when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. We are not talking about sins in terms of, we are talking about the sin nature when it starts, when it's still dominating you. Says that he said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So he said, arise you. He said, oh sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ shall shine and make what? Day dawn upon you. So, basically that's what we're talking about. So, God is telling us that which you arise from the dead, are you following me? And no more be controlled by the sin nature. And what? The last thing there is, this is the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. What is the glory of God? Romans chapter 8 verse 4. He says that it's the glory of God that raised up Christ from the dead. The reason why we have not seen the glory rest upon us, because we have not walked in the measure of the degree of the love of God as we ought to. So what happens is that we see this sporadic manifestation of the Spirit of God. The thing will come down, then it will lift. Then it will come down, then it will lift. But when he saw somebody who perfected the love of God in the person of Lord Jesus Christ, he rested upon him permanently. So if you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 into 4, into 5, he says something. If you read all this, all the things he was talking about, he's talking about walking in love. Before he's talking about putting all your God, he says, you know, lie not one to another. He says, let not the one's name among you. Let no fit, no idle conversation, put it out of your mouth. Be angry, but sin not. And he goes to say somewhere in between. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, of which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So not walking in love grieves him. He's not angry, but he makes him withdraw. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. Romans chapter 6 verse 4, please. Romans 6, 4. 6, 4. Romans 6, 4. What happened? Where it talked about Lord Jesus, I said, okay, let's say, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by what? The glory of the Father. So who is the glory of the Father? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Holy Spirit is risen upon you. That's why in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 32, he said, John testified, he said, I saw the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. So, I've defined what light is. I say light is revelation of how to serve one another by love. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 to explain it further. You now understand, amplify. That's why you now understand what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, the Amplified Bible. What does it say? Above all things. Say, above all things. Have what? Intense. Say, intense. See what I said? Light of great intensity and fervency. Say, KJV says, having fervent charity. But it's amongst ourselves. Say, above all things. Have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. You see, we have a long way to go. Like I gave me and my wife in those days, I should have disregarded, just ask for life and move on. Something I should have been doing some many years ago. I'm just practicing it now. So are you. I follow him. That's why it's important. I don't have time. Just you have to get up. If you don't pray and prepare the fruit of the Spirit in the morning, but in my first year, I say, I mean, when people, hungry people come to you, can't serve them. Let me continue. I will, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers. Say love covers a multitude of sins. How does it cover? Say forgives and disregards the offenses of others. So that forgiveness through the blood removes it. Once it's been wiped away, God has forgotten. So you that were offended, you automatically forget it. How about he told Peter? He said, what God has cleaned, call not common. That is, if I stand there today and I make a mistake, and I go back there and say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He forgives me. Then you still carry your offense. Say, what God has cleansed, call not common. Are you following me? We need to understand. I begin to practice it. So, if you are not sure the person has confessed or not, you confess his sins for him. And then push back the offense. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Johnson Barnes, we're going to get there. So, I put in my notes, two things edify or build up. As you can see. But no, Paul was talking. He said that all things are lovable, but not all things edify. So, I was mentioning two things edify. Love. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Paul was talking, saying, only be careful that this power. Yeah, leave it amplified. Leave it amplified. Let's amplify it. Leave it amplified. 8:1 and amplified. Because this one causes charity. How about, he said, now about food offered to idols. Of course, we know that all of us possess knowledge concerning these matters. Yet, mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves loftily, and be proud. But what? Love, affection, and goodwill, and benevolence. Edifies. Say edifies. That means builds up and encourages one to grow to the full stature. We need to read it again. Let's do the second part where it says, but love, affection, and goodwill, and benevolence edifies, say edifies, and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. The stature, the measure of the stature of fullness. God, that's what love does. So you can see why we have been confessing and we have not grown to the full stature. Because love is not edifying the body. The second thing that edifies is praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. Put it in the normal King James version. He that speaketh, let's say, he that speaketh in our own tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. So what are we saying? Two things edify. Say the love of God and pray in tongues. So I begin to walk in love and pray in tongues. By walking in love, are you following me? The body is built up to its stature. Then the glory will arise. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. To put the scripture behind it. Ephesians 4, verse 15. In KJV. That's what Paul's talking about. That is the reason why God gave apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. See, we can talk today about different types and shadows. See, what you need to understand, if you don't understand that, the types and shadows are pointed to something. Yeah. That's why I said, the light has come. That's why you see Pastor Kisson talking about walking in love, fruit of the Spirit, washing of feet, because that is the issue. The types and shadows are pointing to this. The perfection of the love of God. That is the light that has come. See, but speaking the truth in love. If we read the earlier verses, talking about the reason why I gave apostles and prophets, that we may what? Grow up into him in all things, even the head, even Christ. Next verse. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. That means everybody must be supplying what I've just shared. I will expand it further. Are you following me? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So if you don't grow in love by praying fervently for one another, we can't get to that measure. All I'm putting is, but if you refuse to supply your own measure, that joint will be removed. I will replace with the one that will supply. See, we are supplying different things at different levels. There are captains of tens, of fifties, of hundreds, of 1,000. So that's not the issue. I can't supply what Pastor Omi is supplying. No. But I must make sure I'm supplying my wife, my in-laws, those that God has put out the sphere of my influence, those that are working under me. I must make sure I'm supplying them regularly. Whether I like it or I don't like it. This generator outside there is built the capacity to supply light to everywhere here. If he's not doing it, there's not fulfilling his function. Then we have to go and look at it. Why aren't you fulfilling your function, gentlemen? So every joint has something to supply. No matter how little it is, God knows. But you must make sure you are supplying it per se, per se. Praise the Lord. So, let's see. So, who do we serve? Say, who do we serve? I've said one another. But let's move closer. It is we feed the carnal minds of Christians that come into our sphere of influence. We feed the carnal minds of Christians that come into our influence. What do I mean by that? That is, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8. Let's see. Romans chapter 8 verse 6. See, the carnal mind is in enmity with God. It cannot ever please God. So, because we are in that process of growing up in love, there is the same nature that makes us act the way we shouldn't act at times. So, see, verse 6. It's the carnal mind. You didn't get that. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Next verse. So you got an enemy living with you. You may not be living with... because what the carnal mind is what in enemy. Enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Somewhere there say, for the carnal mind can never please God. So what do we do? What are we talking about? We are talking about serving one by love. When I'm serving you, what you are supposed to be serving me is what you are serving my carnal mind because it is hungry. I follow him. Verse says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So let's move a step further. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. That's what we are serving every day. Proverbs 25, verse 21. What does it say? Proverbs 25, 21. Verse 21. Lord have mercy. Yeah. Say, if thine enemy be hungry, give him what? Bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. So we're not talking about enemies like Boko Haram and all these people. We are Bible is here, you know, motivated with the wisdom of God. Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. So I have the carnal mind. I follow me. You have at a certain level. I follow. So when you see that thing manifest. Are you following me? What do? You feed it. So you give it bread. You give it life. Are you following me? So when you feed it, that someone happens, says by next verse, you will be heaping coals of fire. It's not the coals of fire. He's talking about if you look at where do you get coals of fire. In the next verse, I don't want to just mention the person. We say you are heaping coals of fire upon his head. Next verse, say you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and Lord will reward thee. That's how you get. Closer and closer to getting the word of spirit. Where are the coals of fire from? On the altar of incense. So when you feed with life, you feed with water. You heap coals of water. Say the Lord. Say thou shalt heap coals of fire. How do you coals of fire? When you pray in tongues, you heap upon that clam. You burn help the person. Burn out the signature that is dominating the person. Then God will reward you for it. I say, make sure you receive a full reward. Are you following me? So that is what the Bible is trying to tell us. So I look at the story of Elisha and the Syrian army. When the enemy, the Syrians, came into the sphere of his influence, he ended up feeding them. That's what God wants us to do. Unit types and shadows. It's a real story. They came to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. But when they came to the sphere of influence, you know that story? They wanted to come and arrest him. I said, God smite them with blindness. Then he took them to the king's place, the king's palace. Are you following me?
And then they said, give them. The king said, shall I smite them? Smite, call, smite me. Are you following me? You read someone in Isaiah. He said, you have called a fast. He said, it's not a fast to smite with the feet of wickedness. Go and read Isaiah 58. I will get there. That is the same context. He said, when you see the hungry, you feed him. So you bring the poor to your house. Are you following me there? He now goes on to say something. He says that when you see the naked, you cover him. When you walk in love. He says, so shall your light. He said, the glory of God shall be your real reward. So it's not just the fast. If it's the fasting that we are doing every day, which is not wrong, the glory should have appeared. It's a higher dimension. He said, is this not the fast that I've called that you lose the bands of wickedness? You see Christians that are bound. You don't ask life to help them, to set them free. But that word will be criticize them. To repair remains bound. So, let's move on because of time. So, Proverbs, Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 22. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 22. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 22. Just to ask you, summary of that story. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 22. For thou, says, and he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Go a verse, is that where I want? 22. Okay. Says, and he answered, this is what he took them to the king's palace. He said, thou shalt not smite them. Stop smiting your brethren. I said, when they fall upon the sword, you shall not. Say, thou shalt not smite them. Would thou smite those whom thy hand has taken captive? With thy sword and with thy bow, set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. But the next verse said, they never disturb them again. The Bible says, when a man's way pleases God, he maketh his enemies to be at peace. So at that period of time, they will not hinder the purpose of God in your life. Like I'm about to say, because they went back, they didn't disturb Elisha again. So why is this message very, very important? It's not a long message. Why? The more of the fruit of love that we serve one another, the more God can trust us with the Spirit without measure. It's very critical. The ball is in your court, it's in my court. The more we can serve, Bible just said, the greatest of the kingdom is a servant. It's not the person run up and down like matter. Big mistake. Big mistake. Say, by love, someone. So what are you serving? You're serving the life, you're serving the blood, you're serving the world, you're praying in tongues. So you keep on serving. He said, I'm Lord among you, but I'm serving everybody. Say, greater love hath no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his brethren. So when you ask for life, you lay down your life. When you pray the money, you lay down your life. That we are called on to. I was telling somebody the other day, you see, I saw somebody say, Mary and Martha. Martha was cooking, Jesus Christ was, Mary was listening. But this is what I want you to see. Do you notice that Jesus Christ did not disturb them? You know, he didn't disturb them. He said, Martha, stop cooking. Now come and listen. You know, he left them. You know why? Because he could see their hearts that they made the choices themselves. The only reason why he spoke was when Martha now wanted to drag Mary. And I said, no, Martha, you're not going to do that. Say, that which he has chosen, no man. Martha, you can't take it from her. That is different between David and Abimelech. When you don't know, in time of ignorance, God will wink at it. But David knew, so God was just watching him. It is not that God does not hate us, but that's why honesty of heart comes. When temptations come to you, call for mercy. But if you don't call for mercy, you are dishonest. That means you really want to do the thing. So you just sat down. It didn't disturb them all. He just sat down, just kept on sharing, come with Mary. Martha just crawling, thinking that that is what you can substitute. Many make that mistake. I just laugh. I'll be working all day. So I didn't pray. Okay. So you think it is one up and down that will bring the glory. If it can bring glory, then people are running up and down in the world. There are Christians around Elder Skelter. Go and ask the Ephesian church. They were running up and down. Yeah, they took their candlestick. Wake up. So it is the degree which we serve one another, are you following me? That God can trust us with the Spirit that measure. We are talking about the glory of power and wisdom. You know why? Because the power to get to it, that's the power of wisdom, is to establish the covenant. Are you following me? So if you are not serving one another with love, and you are like Elisha at the beginning of his ministry, God can't trust you. He will destroy the body. Paul says something. He said, the authority that God has given us is for edification, not for destruction. That's why I've been repenting. Lord, help me. Please, help me. Let me be gentle, more gentle with people. Let me speak the truth in love. Lord will have mercy on me.
Oh, the second thing is this. The more diligent we practice serving one another in this way, the faster we hasten the glory. So the more you start doing it, starting from those that God brings to the fear of your influence, the more you are bringing and drawing. What actually happens is, you as a member of the bride, and the Spirit is saying, come, come, Lord, I'm fast practicing, come. Spirit and the bride say, come. Praise the Lord. So how are we going to do this? It's very simple as I stop this message. The primary thing we do, we start in this, is the fourth watch prayers. You can't miss it. Thank God for good morning, Jesus. Is to teach you getting up early and to practice the disciplines of Christ. I said something in passing. That's why the Lord brought it to my mind. If you have a restaurant and you plan to sell food to people, are you going to start cooking at 9? Are you going to start cooking at night? 9 o'clock? It's too late. You would have, you know, all the people, pardon my, I'm thinking about a lot today. I want to say, those that cook, all these event planners, they would have woken up like 12 midnight. They would have been cooking and cooking and cooking, and the aroma of it, they would make sure they cook enough. So you too, when you get up in the morning, you go by the phone between hours of 3 and 6, you cook your fruit of the Spirit. Yes, so. Because aren't you planning to serve one another? When you go to a restaurant, they will come and will say, what do you want? Have you been served? Are you following me? I have not been served. Oh, so what do you want, sir? Okay, so you want some endurance. Okay, in my mind. So when you first of all, it's like, you know, you give them the first course, you give them the main meal, are you following me? And then you give them the dessert. Are you following me? We say, yes. That's a loss. When the Lord spoke to me in the bathroom, I just started laughing. When he said that, you know, use the scripture, but I quoted it. He said, when your enemy be hungry, feed him. When he started feeding with bread. So he now took my mind back. He said, when you wake up in the morning, wake up before your wife. You know, some of us, by the time you wake up late, an hungry soul will come out. People are waiting for you. Your children are waiting for you. And you don't have food. You have, oh, there is Dana. You have not prayed in the Spirit. The fire of Holy Ghost. There is Shane Kokon. Oh, dear, this is big. I cannot lodge your head. Oh, 6 o'clock. You yourself, you'll be hungry. But if you woken up a great night before dawn, you'll have prepared something. You'll have cooked the love of God. You'll have prepared it. You are ready. Ready to go. So the first person that wakes up, maybe it is your wife that wakes up, or you that will be vice versa, and just wakes up like this. And the person. Be first thing, maybe the alarm is, and the person doesn't wake up, and he get up, and turns it back. I will just feed the person. Blah, 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 blah. Just have mercy. By the time you go, your children, to they misbehave, you just feed them again. And then you carry your food, you put it in a warmer. That's when you begin to walk in the Spirit. You carry it to work. So you are looking for hungry souls. So God will bring them into your sphere of influence. At work, wherever, it doesn't matter. When they come, you discern what is wrong. And you feed them. You are all funny first course. Yes, give them the blood to cleanse their sin. Are you following me? Then you ask for life. You feed them with the love of God. That's the main meal, the fruit of the Spirit. Then later on, if God permits, you have funny dessert. What is dessert? You now speak the truth to them in love. So that only, maybe some days after, only, that's the dessert. You don't go and give them dessert before giving them the main meal. You will kill them. And you say word of God, you go and bring the word. Like I was sharing, I said, if you're a little sleep, a little slumber, multiple one, you need dessert. Now I did for the first course, that's the main meal. I was so, well, I'll give her the first course. Then you move on. Give her the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. But you pray that she'll be eating. Then, as she's eating, she's getting the strength to get up and go and pray herself to do what she's supposed to do. I'm not talking about wife, I'm talking about your wife. You and your wife. Are you following me? Are you following me? So, you have ministered the strength. I ministered the strength. The person has gotten up and everything. That person has finished. They cannot start talking about the word of God after. Later, desire. Think about it. Yo, and I start talking. No reverse the beginning. So that is evolving. So how would you do with this? I say, first watch prayer, battle prayer. When you wake up and join good morning, Jesus, you are preparing the food. What you go, what you feel. Don't put Vedan there. Oh. You spice it up. Uru is nourishing. So before she even wakes up, you have washed the plates. You have done what she should have done. Aroma Atima Adun. Say, honey, I love you. Yes. Why won't you love me? The second Napula says, increase in the frequency, in the fervency, and frequency of washing one another's feet, which will lead to the increase in the intensity and the frequency of light that will bring the glory. You know, Bible says, the house divided against itself cannot stand. So if you have not washed your wife's feet and bring her to come and join you, I find that you split apart. How can you stand that day? And Bible says, having done all, which is love, to stand. So when I divided the area of love, how can you stand that day? Before you get to the mirror, you always say, I have two flat tires. I wonder what happened. Why would you have two flat tires? Look at the time you are waking up to cook meal for your family and those you are going to meet where you are going to. But if you've done your assignment, you pack the thing inside the cooler, inside the warmer, inside your car. Ready, traffic warning. I just give everybody. Then you quickly cook again. That's why I had my gun just going down. Anyway, let's continue. The frequency and increase. So, how do we do this? Pastor has explained. I'll use those types and shadows to explain to us through the help of the Spirit. I'm thanking for his help. Joints. Say joints. And bands. Pastor said this. I'm just going to mention that we'll close. But this is to encourage us. The summary is this. To walk in the light of the pristine revelational knowledge of what God. That is the light that has come to those that are sitting in darkness. Joints. What are joints? Joints are where two parts meet. You are a part of the body of Christ. At the thought level. Say at the thought level. At the thought level. 1 John chapter 5 verse 16. What does it say? It says, if a man see his brother see a sin unto death, he shall ask for life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 16. That's what I say. If any man, see any man, see his brother or sister sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death. At the thought level, say at the thought level. So this can occur at any time. So either you are praying, the moment the thought of any Christian comes to you, ask for mercy. Mercy gives the blood and the life. You see, because it's at the thought level that can either win the battle or lose the battle. Because thought comes at such a fast rate. Now, like we said, bringing into captivity every thought. So whether good or bad. Let me explain. When a thought comes to me now about somebody, the person may not have sinned. Are you following me? But see, yeah, that I know. Or even may not have sinned at all. Because the end point we are going to is for the body to be edified. So if, for example, Pastor Andrew has not sinned at all, the thought of Andrew comes to me somewhere and I say, Lord, have mercy on us. Why? Because I want to keep on edifying the body all day long. So I'm building up the body. If the person has sinned, that's why you ask for the blood and you ask for the life. That's what mercy does. Open to the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. If a man see is at the thought level. We're talking about the eyes of an understanding, your mind being enlightened. No, not a physical sense. You can see physically, but it's at the thought level. This is where the battle is. 8:12. What do I say? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So if God is going to be merciful to your unrighteousness and he says, I will not remember their sins again, that means embedded in the mercy of God is the blood of Jesus Christ to remove that sin. So when you see, either you remember what the person did, or the thought God brings, the one that brings the thought. Why is he bringing the thought? So it can edify the body. So there can be a blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So you give like your mind. You just say, Father, mercy on us. You ask for mercy on us. Mercy on yourself to receive the blood and the life so that you clean your heart. So like what you're asking for, your life can go out. Are you following me? So Lord, have mercy on us. At the thought level, mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. At the thought level, I think I'm saying, but you should be thinking it. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us. You know, in your mind, you know what, in this regard. Lord, have mercy in this regard. Lord, have mercy on this. Toward me, I'm Pastor Andrew. Are you following me? So that is what joints are supposed to do. They are all parts. When their joints are parts that meet at the thought level. See, at the thought level. Very, very important. Are you following me? That's what I say. The next thing is the band, which is the connection between two or more Christians when they pray for one another in the spirit with tongues and travel. What that supplies is, it supplies the power needed to edify the body. So you combine both life and power. So you give the blood, you give the life, then you supply the power. Are you following me? When we pray. That's why I read what I read earlier on. I said two things edify. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So it says, not let prophet or but love edifies. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14 verse 4. So it says that he that speaketh in tongues edified himself. So if you all as a body speak in tongues, we're edifying ourselves. Are you following me? So if we practice that, I said, when God told him, said, arise, shine, do you stop sleeping again. Why? For your light has come. What light? The light of how to walk in love with precision. It's not based on emotion. You know exactly what to do. In season and out of season. It's as you do that you are shining. I follow him. Then the glory of God will be risen. I follow me. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Let's just put the scripture behind it. What does it say? For Jude chapter 1 verse 20. But ye beloved. Building up. Say building up. Yourselves in your muscle limit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, for brethren, criticize yourself. Which will be building up one another. Should be building up one another. The lesser we do it, then we delay the coming of the Lord. The more we practice it, I follow me, then we hasten. Say, they shall fall. That's the difference. Jesus said, they shall fall upon the sword. And shall, why wouldn't they be wounded when they fall upon the sword? When they stumble trying to operate, walk in the world. Because those are around them in unity, they are building each other up. Last scripture. It is as you practice this that the glory of God will appear. I'll read one more scripture. I'll mention one scripture and I'll read last scripture. So you can understand. I'm trying to make sure we understand. So we can go out with a determination to begin to practice it. From now. So if I talk too much, just lie for me. You just be asking lie for me. I just give us an example. Psalm 102 verse 16. We'll close. Psalm 102 verse 16. We're going to close the last scripture. When, not before. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Let's stand up to our feet. If he does not build up Zion through what you and I do amongst ourselves, it's not going to appear. It's when Zion is built up, and that building up is when the joints are functioning well, the bands are functioning well, both at the thought level, we are asking for mercy in our thought life. Every moment God brings a thought of anybody to your mind, you ask for mercy and understand from the scriptures that Hebrews 8:12, mercy supplies the blood and the life. By that, so that we are sure you are supplying, everybody is a supplier at your level. Because when the Lord shall, that's how he's going to build up Zion. And will appear in his glory. So we can understand what it means when it says, arise, shine by walking in love. Why? For your light. The light of walking in love with precision has come. Then the glory of the Lord that raised up Christ shall rest upon you. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on us, shine on us, shine on us. Oh.
your grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Lord, the light of our life.
Lord, the light of your love be shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring. Shine on us.
Shine on us.
To the Lord, it's nothing new. Let's put one hand on our hearts. I've been taught by the fathers of the house, and raise the other hand to heaven and say, Lord, please have mercy on us to receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to increase in the fervency and the frequency of washing our feet, that as I do the same, serving one another by love, your glory will arise upon us in this day, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord Spirit, thank you, Rebo. In Jesus' name. Amen. You cannot understand what the Bible says. Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, and a man should lay down his life for his friends. And the Bible says that love is what? The greatest. So if you walk in the greatest of all, which is by walking in love, what does that mean? Bible says that greater works than this shall you do, if you have love one for another. Praise the Lord. We say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus.